Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a snowy Halloween edition. How you doing, little buddy? Looking kind of spooky.
happy Halloween to you. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. Happy Halloween to us all. Don't get scared.
Devil's Advocates. You know, this is like our day, is it not, Tom?
Every day is our day, Crudy.
Aren't they all? Greatest show ever. Hope so. We got some fine guests. We've got Gemini, trash talker, tweeter extraordinaire, our buddy Scott Ross, joining me here in the Solidarity Realty 92.7 WMDX studios. Little while from now, like 20 minutes, right, Dom? About 4:30, yep. Bottom of the hour, as the radio people like to say. And then our buddy Egberto, he's coming back.
Egberto Willie is coming back at 5:30. Man, you hooked him up for the first time. He's a cool cat. We look forward to catching up with him again.
We will speak with Egberto in the Happier Happy Hour Halloween edition. Dom, it's going to be a big show. But I had big plans. I had relevant shows to bring later in this month, or more specifically, the month of November. And I was scheming, Dom. I was putting together a little travel plan to go to Miami for the GOP debate. And then perhaps even Hialeah for Donald Trump's little counter GOP debate function.
Whatever that thing is going to be.
That's a week from Wednesday on November 8th. They're doing their third debate, a third Trumpless debate. And I thought, nah, they were in Milwaukee. We didn't bother. You know, we did our fine bar show, Dom, down at the Roman Coin. But we didn't bother going to the Pfizer Forum. And we certainly didn't bother with the second one out at the, Reagan Library. Well, this one, Miami, one of my favorite destinations, Dom. So I started scheming very recently that I might take a little trip to Miami. And I looked at the airfare, very affordable relative to airfare currently. Under a couple $100. I'm like, I could afford that.
Wow. For a flight next week. That's super cheap.
It is. You want to go to Miami for no particular reason? Because them. Here's the bad news. My credentialing has been denied.
Oh, what?
At least they were responsive. This is an NBC News event. You know, maybe if it was MSNBC News, them, I'd have made the cut, but NBC regrets to inform me I will not be at attendance at the debate. Here's what they wrote. Hi, Mike. Unfortunately, given the extremely limited capacity, we're unable to accommodate your credential request at this time. We'll be in touch if that changes ahead of November 8th. Thank you for understanding. I don't understand.
Look, limited space, Crudy. I'm a little bit shorter than you are. Maybe I should apply and see if they'll let me squeeze in.
I feel like we're being conspired against, them. Do you recall when the DNC conspired to keep me out of the spin room at the Des Moines debate? You didn't go to that one with me, but I went all the way to Des Moines, Iowa in the winter. And yeah, I went there.
Was that for the 2016 or 2015?
Winter of 2016, Dom. That's when I met Bernie Sanders staffers and his strategy team, Longabaugh and who's the Tad Devine? Met those guys, saw Donna Brazile. You know where I went, Tom? Because I was not allowed in the spin room. I mean, I got armbarred out of the spin room. I was allowed
friends and influencing people everywhere you go, Michael.
There were still five candidates at that time. I think it was O'Malley. Maybe Jim Webb had dropped out. But it was what? O'Malley and Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and I forget the other spare, but another non-winner, because of course Hillary won. But Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who came to Milwaukee, and we didn't have a great experience with her, Dom. Or at least I didn't. In the middle of me asking her questions about the allocation of delegates between the Clinton campaign and the Bernie Sanders campaign, mid-interview, Debbie Wasserman Schultz turned and walked away.
Why? What were you asking about?
I was asking about the allocation of delegates in New Hampshire between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. And she, ironically, the DNC chairperson, was also, Dom, the chairperson of the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Yeah.
Which I felt a little conflicted seeing the circumstances. But, you know, no one thought Bernie was a serious candidate, except guys like you and I, because we'd seen Bernie and Madison at the Alliant Energy Center in July of 2015. He was like a rock star dude. And we knew that Bernie had juice, and Bernie did have juice. And anyways, Dom, I was not permitted. In fact, I was armbarred out of the DNC spin room at the very next debate, Des Moines, Iowa. I got to hang out in the big room, you know, the media area. Got to hang out. Roy Wood Jr., guy from Comedy Central, got to meet him. And if you recall, that was, I believe, around, I forget what shooting, but there was a, you know, like many times in American history, there was a shooting around that time. And, oh, no, that was Charlie Hebdo, Paris, that happened at the literal time as this presidential Democratic debate, which I was not allowed to attend, not from the spin room, because apparently they had very limited capacity, Dom.
Very limited capacity for Michael.
But I felt at that time I was being conspired against. Maybe it was the arm bar from the junior DNC staffer, like, we know who you are, get out. But now it's like history repeating itself all over again. I feel like Yogi Berra over here, Dom. I cannot gain entrance, despite being the greatest radio show co-host ever. Don't they know who we are? We're kind of a big deal.
Don't you know?
So I will not be in Miami, at least not for a GOP debate. Although,
well, hell, man, maybe just go down, find the hotel bar, you know, throw the credit card down and start talking to people. You know,
well, that is exactly what I did at the Marriott in Des Moines. Played third base, dropped the corporate card, and stayed all night and made good friends with Bernie Sanders, strategic team, etc. But anyways, Dom, I won't be going to Miami with or without you. Without credentials, I'm not getting on a plane. I'm not hauling the gear. I'm not making that trip. So that's a little sad to report. And there's always sad news to report from the senior senator of the great state of Wisconsin. You know, Ron's been conspired against as well, Dom. Hell,
what?
The American people have, lots of people have. And Ron's going to tell you about it. Now, let's start. Which series of Ron's sound are we starting
here? I think the Maria Bartiromo interview, where he's, you know, talking about the conspiracy of the COVID vaccine. Curry, let's start with that one. Nate, you did all the hard work. Last minute, we do appreciate it. Let's do cut number one. Let's hear it.
I mean, it's just extraordinary to me that, you know, the government was working with social media to amplify lies and suppress truth and has been doing so repeatedly. Why couldn't the American people know that, you know, there were other alternatives to treat COVID? Why can't the American people know that there were side effects with the vaccine?
I mean, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. I mean, hell, maybe Trump, the former president, was even suggesting perhaps a little bleach, you know, or sunlight in the skin somehow, some way.
I thought he talked about sticking a light bulb up your bottom.
Yeah. Rojo, he has a thought on this topic. Remember, this is the senior senator from the great state of Wisconsin. We apologize, world. Cut number two.
This is all pre-planned.
What?
An elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. Event 201 that occurred in late 2019 prior to the rest of us knowing about this pandemic. Again, this is very concerning in terms of what has happened, what is happening, what continues to be planned for our loss of freedom. Again, it needs to be exposed, but unfortunately, there are very few people, even in Congress, that are willing to take a look at this. They all push the vaccine. They don't want to, be made aware of the fact that the vaccines might have caused injuries, might have caused death. So many people just simply don't want to admit they were wrong, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they're not proven wrong.
Can you demonstrate
how about a follow-up question, Maria Bartiromo? Right, you're a journalist. This is pre-planned. Well, when was it planned?
By whom? Who are these elites? These conspiring elites we hear about.
It's the they. It's the them, Crudy. It's the conspiracy. It's Ron Johnson. Hell, what was it? Romney. Ron, is there a conspiracy theory you don't believe in? Let's hear Ron, part two, cut number three, please, Nate.
We're up against a very powerful group of people here, Maria. But fortunately, you say, what can we do? Well, we do have reporters like yourself, like John Solomon, other people that have the courage to report the truth against the mainstream media and against the narrative. But that's the only way this is going to be solved, is we need the truth to be exposed. We need more Americans to listen to the truth, to be exposed to the truth, to pull their heads out of the sand, quite honestly, open up their eyes and understand what is happening in this country. We are going down a very dangerous path, but it's a path that is being laid out and planned by an elite group of people.
Who are the people?
They're elite. They're very powerful people, Crudy. They're elite and powerful.
Wait, George Soros.
He didn't say it, but you got to assume. I don't know, man. I mean, for real. If this guy is a senator. He was chair of the, Senate Homeland Security Committee, right?
His gag.
He was the chair of this, man. He had subpoena power. Who are you talking about? You can't just talk in general. Oh, the American people need to know the truth about this elite group of powerful people. Great idea, Ron. I'm with you, brother. Who are they? Let's bring them to light. They're powerful.
It's a conspiracy.
That's what it is.
Wrapped in a riddle. Shrouded in an enigma. Propagated by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, the senior senator from the great state of Wisconsin. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. More of us and a little more Ron, I'm sorry to say, on the other side.
We're up against a very powerful group of people here.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the glass.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can always join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around this entire show. Got lots of great guests coming up. Scott Ross, Firebrand Gemini, friend of the Devil's Advocates, coming down at 4:30.
Dominic, do you think that Maria Bartiromo and the aforementioned John Solomon, did they get credentialed for the spin room in Miami?
Great question, Crudy.
I bet they did.
We're up against a very powerful group of people here.
Yeah. Hey, I got it. Journalism 101. Never took a journalism class, Crudy. I'm going to shoot from the hip here. Who are these very powerful people, Senator? And how did you come by their names?
Wouldn't it be whom?
To whom? Whom? Who are you talking about, man? I don't know. Who the hell are you talking about? Senator Johnson. I mean, I let's get to it, man. If the whole world, the whole United States, everyone's activated right now. Oh my God. We're being manipulated by a group of elites, very powerful people. Ron Johnson said so. Let's go get them. Right? Let's go tar and feather those elitists. Who are they? Who are they? Ron? Who are you talking about, Ron? I mean, for real.
Clearly, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, he meant. You know, we were out in DC last week and I didn't bother calling upon our former friend, Ron Johnson, used to be a friend of the show. Then the whole January 6th thing sort of parted ways with the senior senator from Wisconsin, quit inviting him, coming around. But Dom, my wife had an appointment at the senator's office last week. She was there doing some advocacy work. And after she met with the staff, she said, you know, my husband would like to pass a message to the senator, or I'd like to do so on his behalf. Sort of a shout out of sorts. And the guy is like very skeptical, right?
Yeah.
And she says, well, they kind of have a love-hate relationship. And then he took interest. And then he took copious notes, Dom. So sometime last week, probably on Thursday, Ron got a little handwritten note from the staff. Mike Crute says hi.
Oh, the one-finger salute. Well done, Crute. Way to respect your elders.
I must infer that was the tone of the message,
Tom. Oh, okay.
Not having been there precisely, just taking Mrs. Crudy's word for it. Anyways, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Oh, hate to admit, Ron's got more embarrassing action. Ron Johnson, today, the FDI director. He's a very bold, very powerful elite man, right, Christopher Wray?
He certainly is.
Well, Ron's taking him to task for partisanship, right? He's a pure partisan, this guy, this Republican appointee, lifelong Republican, purely partisan.
These FBI agents, you know, going after all these criminals who apparently happen to be, a lot of them happen to be Republican. It seems very, very partisan to the senator, who's very concerned about the groups of powerful elite people. So we can maybe, you know, understand where the senator's coming from in this regard.
Well, we're perhaps not powerful or elite enough to hang out with Ron or attend a GOP spin room. Yeah. But let's hear what the U.S. senator from the great state of Wisconsin, let's hear him representing you, the fine people of the state of Wisconsin.
Represent the hell out of you folks.
I don't have the number, but let's play the first cut. Ron Johnson questioning Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI.
So I see an FBI every day that conducts themselves with integrity and professionalism and selflessness and rigor. And I do not accept the characterization of our performance in this particular case.
That is not how I characterized it. I'm talking about partisanship at the top, Mr. Chairman? With some specific partisan actors. I said the vast majority of the 38,000 are people
dash partisanship.
And the idea that I, as a Republican appointee and a lifelong Republican, am biased in the way that you are describing makes absolutely no sense.
I'm happy to read you chapter and verse of all the reasons why that credibility has been destroyed.
Oh, the rhino accusation from the senator. Wow. Chapter and verse. Again, Ron, please lay it on me, brother. You got chapter and verse of what? Christopher Wray? Is he part of the deep state, dude? Is he one of the elite, powerful people? I mean, you got what? What?
If you've ever had a case of pot calling kettle black, this might be it. Let me lay out the evidence why your credibility is somewhat lacking, Senator. Yeah. I can go case in verse for you. 844-967-2789. Why don't we have Ron come round anymore?
I forget. It's weird. I don't know why we wouldn't want to, you know, amplify that guy even more than we do. But the mocking is justified, I think, right? And there's, you know, there's lots of stuff out there for Ron. We could do more, but that one, we actually started today. Scott Ross, he's coming at 4:30. He retweeted that one out yesterday, talking about the very powerful people with the Bartiromo. So, you know, if you want to follow Scott Ross, check him out. He'll be coming up next. 844-967-2789. Let's get some callers in before Scott joins us. Bill from Oconomowoc, you're up. Happy Halloween, Bill. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I was having a happy Halloween until you brought up Ron Johnson.
Yeah, and you're welcome.
You built a fire under me, and I got his phone number in my little fat hand here, and he's going to be getting a call when I hang up his offices. And my message is going to be resign and stop defending domestic terrorism.
Hmm.
Because that's what he's doing. He's defending domestic terrorism. He knows his jacket's already caught in a roller, and it's pulling him closer and closer to the roller. So he's going to try something that he thinks intelligent, going after the FBI. That's like Al Capone going after Elliot Ness. It isn't going to work, Al, and it's not going to work, Ron. Neither one. That's not going to happen. You go after the sheriff, the sheriff's already got you. The sheriff's already got you. It's just a matter of time that you try on a different suit. You're such a corrupt politician. If you think America's that ignorant, Ron, you're living in a real reality that we can't even comprehend. Thanks, guys, for
letting me rant, Mike. Hey, Bill, if you get a hold of this, the Ron Johnson office or a staffer there, tell them the Devil's Advocate say hi.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Let's squeeze in Jeannie from Eau Claire. Welcome, Jeannie.
Hey, Jeannie.
Oh, man, I watched that guy, and he reminded me of Trump, you know, where he got that, when he was indicted, and he had that ugly look on his face. Ron Johnson had his head tucked down, and his eyes were just glaring at him.
That's his petulant look.
And the other one, I thought, why, you ugly son of a gun. I did have to call his office, and then I had to call two times because his answering machine wasn't working, but I left him a nasty message, that son of a gun. What an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin. That guy should be locked up and throw away the key. Anyway, that's my two cents worth. Guys, thank you for taking my call.
Jeannie, I would describe that as resting conspiracy face.
You just have to be open to the truth, Jeannie, as Ron Johnson will tell you. But a follow-up question from the Foxy News. How about who are the elites? When did this conspiracy start? It was pre-planned. By whom and what dates and what was the plan? And how did you find out about it? And why don't you, you know, put it up and for everyone to share instead of just talking in generalities? You know, so many questions I have for the good senator. Maybe we should have him back on, Crudy.
Sometimes you've got to infer the conspiracy, Dom. Come back with us. It's a conspiracy, I tell you. They're keeping down the Devil's Advocates, trying to keep down the greatest radio show ever. We won't let them. We got a fine guest joining us right now. He's in the hizzy. He's Scott Ross, Gemini, flamethrower, friend of the Devil's Advocates. Used to say that about Ron. Not so much anymore.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Halloween edition. A little snowy. Nothing sticking here in Madison. I hear around the state we got measurable depths. But I got a fine guest. He's joined me here in the Madison Solidarity Realties WMDX studio. He's our friend, flamethrower Scott Ross. How you doing, Scott?
I am doing great. Great. Good to hear from you both.
I feel like this is the calm before the storm.
Ooh,
you ready to go. Let it fire?
Such high expectations, Scott.
Well, you know, it's Halloween and ghosts are mean.
Scott Ross, we started our conversation today with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Rojo, as he's often known.
Wisconsin's pride.
We saw you had retweeted him in an interview with the Foxy Business News, Maria Bartiromo. And he's claiming there are elites out there conspiring against, apparently, the American people, want to damage us, want to stick us with a vaccine that, you know.
Control us, take away our freedoms. They're very powerful people, Scott.
And even Dominic, who didn't go to J school exactly, or you did go to college, right, Dom? No, didn't.
Yes.
Didn't go through the journalism program. Even Dom had the wherewithal to say, what about a follow-up question? Like, who are these people? And why would they conspire against us? Scott, any theories?
Well, I think Ron Johnson, Maria Bartiromo, whose show I was on one time, is a favorite of Ron Johnson's.
Because what happened to her?
They used to refer to her as she was the money bunny on CNBC and then went to Fox. And like everybody who goes to Fox, you know, was either in the process of losing her mind or lost her mind there, you know. The Johnny Bravos of lunatic broadcasting, you know, they fit the suit, so they get the gig. And she's been, I mean, that's Ron's go-to Fox person. Like, he's on her show all of the time. And I guess it's because he delivers the goods and she shuts up so that he can deliver those insane goods. And like you say, He really delivered some doozies the other day.
Well, it wasn't just the other day. It's also recent Hill testimony. He's grilling the FBI director about his partisanship. This Trump appointee of lifelong Republican lineage. And, you know, Christopher Wray had to push back a little bit. You know, put up his own resume. And Ron is convinced that he will convince Christopher Wray with enough evidence of what a partisan he is. And I'm thinking, when did Ron Johnson start offering evidence of anything?
I mean, you know, this is the thing. Like, I think that shows in a sense, you know, I mean, we sort of laugh about like how my words, again, not, you know, evident wackadoo that the Republican Party has gotten under.
Oh,
under
I use stronger words than that. So I'm glad you clarified. Those are, you know, Scott Ross's words.
Tone it down.
So I mean, it just shows how nuts the party has gotten under Ron Johnson because, you know, or I'm sorry, under Donald Trump, because of the fact that we can take somebody, like you say, a lifelong Republican appointed by a Republican president who is accused of being a, what, partisan Democrat?
Rhino!
You know?
Rhino it!
You know, and again, it comes
Rhino
back.
At best.
It comes back to this thing of like, Ron Johnson doesn't think enough people died because of COVID. You know, he did his damnedest to try and ensure that people did not take the vaccine, that people did not do safety measures, you know, that people continued to suffer under COVID because he has it in his, you know, tinfoil brain that vaccines are a bad thing. You know, that protecting yourself is a bad thing, that anything that exists is anything bad that exists is caused by Democrats, and any amelioration to that can only be done by Republicans. Ironically, since, you know, the whole ball to getting a vaccine happened under Trump as well.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate. Got a fine guest here in the Madison studios with me. He is Scott Ross, flamethrower, Gemini, friend of ours. Scott, I was mentioning off air, I was just in D.C. last week, and as happenstance would happen, they elected a new Speaker of the House. And I want to get your opinion because I didn't know who this guy was, this Mike Johnson. I know Ron Johnson, but I never heard of Mike Johnson. So what can you tell us about the new Speaker, in your opinion? And let's not tone it down.
Well, first of all, I want to applaud you, Groot, because they, you know, they Democrats are saying, like, listen, we need to get a Speaker who is utterly, you know, a lunatic whose policies will drive Democrats to run to the polls this coming election. And they couldn't get somebody nutty enough. And so they sent Crude out there, and you must have worked, you know, as you do, work the Republican side of the
aisle. It was a conspiracy of elites out there, Scott.
You know, you got together with Matt Gaetz and Boebert, and, you know, well, I don't want to talk.
I did bump into Boebert.
You don't have to share anything about that. You know, let's keep the situation, you know, in hand. And we will... You know, but again, you got a Speaker elected. Congratulations. And a lunatic that is. And the thing about Mike Ron Johnson is that he started his career by working for this organization called Alliance Defending Freedom. And I know them because when I worked for the late Attorney General Peg Lautenschlager, we were fighting with them back in 2005 because they were so, you know, that any acknowledgement or understanding or acceptance of gay people by the state of Wisconsin government, they were going to sue over. And that was what we were fighting with them back then, continued to fight with them, you know, when I was at One Wisconsin Now, just the constant barrage of lawsuits, again, trying to, you know, deny gay and lesbian people their basic freedoms. That's now expanded, of course, to trans people, as that's the only thing that, you know, is talked about in terms of anything related to education policy. Let's make sure we ban books that might make trans people feel like humans. That seems to be the Republican, you know, the Republican way these days. And Johnson embodies that. He worked for that group. Then I guess he got elected to the state legislature, maybe. I don't know. But he's been in Congress for a couple terms. Basically, like, he wasn't known well enough to be, you know, to have made enough enemies that he was able to get through with a unanimous vote. Every single Wisconsin Republican in the House voted for him except
Van Orden,
because he was on vacation.
I'm not sure if he would describe it as vacation. But let me tell you one more quick DC story. The audience already heard this one, but Scott, you're new to today's show. My wife got to meet with Van Orden's staff 10:30 in the morning last Thursday. guess what they offered her?
Offered her booze.
Cold beer.
Yep. I had a friend who was out there lobbying. He said 9:30 that Van Orton yelled at the staff because that gentleman from Wisconsin had not been offered a beverage.
He was back by Thursday because my wife saw the boss's suitcase in the congressional office. And she said, "You think I pack heavy?" This guy had like a steamer trunk he took to the Middle East.
Oh, you know, he'd had to have like 17 of those vests he wears. So, you know.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our pal, Scott Ross. Always love talking to you, Ross, and I love the Twitter feed, man, at Ross Across WI. But, okay, stay on the speaker thing, though. I mean, obviously, the super very religious thing, and this is something that I am addressing over and over and over again. Now, this is like an extreme, like the earth is 6,000 years old kind of a thing, like Jesus rode the dinosaurs kind of a thing. Now, how does this play into...
Because he did!
How does this play into government, Matt, from your perspective? I mean, we know what they're fighting against, anti-gay, anti-trans. We understand that part of it. But do you think, and especially now with, you know, obviously a war raging in Israel and Gaza right now, that this is part of his life story, that his worldview is shaped by the Bible? He said, if you want to know me, read the Bible. I'm thinking, Scott, which part?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that there was an amusing post going around about a guy who was saying, you know, that he's upset that the Bible is discriminated against him because of like 12 times it mentions that one of the sins is being left-handed, which is apparently true. The thing about them, you know, that our House Republicans supporting this guy is that he really, really has done some incredibly extreme things. I mean, you know, he argued in an op-ed that states should be able to criminalize gay sex, whatever that is. You know, and I challenge I think that the members of the press corps here in this great state of Wisconsin, you know, should be asking the House members who voted for this cat whether or not they have engaged in sodomy of any kind.
That's a pretty broad definition, sodomy.
You know, exactly. And so, like, again, they're voting for, you know, this guy. I mean, this is a guy who, like, you know, wrote a paper on how we could get rid of, you know, Medicare and Social Security, how he could slash those benefits. Obviously, on the issue of abortion, he is, like, you know, the furthest. I think if, you know, I think he thinks, you know, I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to even say what I think he thinks. But he is just, you know, the most extreme kind of person that you could possibly have. And this is huge for Democrats, because the fact that they have put this guy in there to lead their policy is bad for the country. But I think it will be good for Democrats in terms of flushing the House Republicans out of office.
Well, I've often said bad for the country, great for talk radio.
Yeah.
Like Scott Ross. He's our buddy.
Ouch. Wait, what?
Ouch. You know, it's funny. You were talking about your experience out in Capitol Hill. I used to work out there. I worked for Ron Kind for a while. And I was coming down on the elevator one time. Or I'm sorry, I was getting on the elevator to go up to his office, and Tucker Carlson got on the, you know, and this is 2003, so I had a four flight elevator ride with Tucker Carlson, and I could have dropped him for a loss, but I did not drop him for a loss because, you know, I'm a professional.
I'd respect you more if you had,
you know, and you know, but I, you know, again. Things are just so, I mean, I think about that because that was just 20 years ago that I worked out there. And it's just, it's nuts the way we have allowed normalcy to be so thrown out the door by these folks.
I'm still stuck on the fact that you could have given Tucker Carlson a full Rand Paul and chose not to.
Well, you know, I mean, he's the, you know, he probably has better lawyers than I have because, you know, he's the Swanson's heir. So, you know, bootstraps Tucker.
Scott, I mean, I like what you're thinking here with regards to the Wisconsin Republicans who voted for this guy. I mean, shouldn't these be asked all these kinds of uncomfortable, quote unquote, questions? Because that is what the speaker has talked about. This is what he has espoused. And apparently, like, some of the podcasts and the websites are all getting scrubbed and cleaned up right now. Scott Ross, why do you think that would happen? If you were proud about your belief and you want to put it all out there and I stand by this, then why are they scrubbing the websites?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, they were scrubbing. I see that they scrubbed his wife, you know, Mike Johnson's wife, you know, her theocratical organization, you know, something about...
You only say that because you're phlegmatic.
Well, be that as it may, I'll admit, when I was in college, I matriculated. I'm going to admit that as well. She scrubbed her website that basically said, like, sex outside of marriage is an abomination to God or is an offense to God. You know, and these are the people who are running our government right now. They are the only, you know, they are the thing that will prevent us from doing things like protecting ourselves, abroad, who are helping our allies abroad, making sure that we have money in communities to be able to finance things like schools and law enforcement and, you know, this time of year, you know, making sure that streets are cleaned and all that sort of thing. And we're now held hostage. I mean, it's funny that this, you know, that you could, that this lunatic's resume is funny until you remember that he's, you know, second in line to be the president of the United States.
And there's a little bit of a asterisk on his personal resume. He's got a 40-year-old black son.
Yeah.
That's
who's never shown up in anything except this one time he mentioned him.
And he couldn't adopt him. Well, he's mentioned him on multiple occasions, you know, like why black people should not receive reparations. Well, let me tell you about my black son, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, in deference to his privacy, he doesn't talk about him. But they did talk about him during the cold open of Saturday Night Live. That's how I figured it out.
Ah, I missed that.
I wonder if they analogized, the Johnson family did, that, you know, their relationship with this young Michael was similar to The Blind Side. And we all know how well that's played out in the public. He's Scott Ross. He's toning it down for the radio. Keeping us FCC compliant. Just barely. Come back on the other side. No promises, except more Firebrand Scott Ross. And perhaps you as well, 844-967-2789, running with the Devils Halloween style.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us, click on the shows, find the Devil's Advocates. You can listen to podcasts and interviews.
I got Scott Ross, our good friend, flamethrower, co-host here with me. Dom's all the way over there, but Scott's right here with me in the Madison studios. And Scott, I got to ask you about the tenor of the politics here in the great state of Wisconsin, where you and I and Dom and a lot of folks reside. Well, the promises of the impeachment of Protasiewicz, at least they've been delayed. It hasn't happened yet. But about 2-3 weeks from now, I believe there's going to be oral arguments on the redistricting case. And I got to think Robin Voss is going to be a nervous man. Do you think they will seek their pound of flesh after the ruling?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly was shocked that he backed down.
I was I wouldn't say shocked, because there's not a lot of public sentiment for impeaching a Supreme Court justice who hasn't ruled on anything yet.
He wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to do it. I knew he wasn't going to do it. He didn't do it, because a guy like that talking all that moxie, the Dems stepped up. I mean, the Democratic Party raised a bunch of money. They blasted that. Everyone called. I mean, that was never going to happen. But I said it. But anyway, you were shocked. Why were you shocked, Scott Ross?
I was shocked because the way the maps are so rigged, you know, that Voss needed 49 votes plus his own in a caucus that, you know, in the most gerrymandered, in the country. And Voss is doing these things. I mean, I don't know if you guys follow Voss's Twitter, Rep Voss, which at Rep Voss you can follow in part because I sued him when he tried to block organizations and myself from being able to see his Twitter feed, and we prevailed in court. And unfortunately, it cost taxpayers $200,000 that Robin Voss has not paid them, you know. But that's just a drop in the bucket to all the legal stuff that he got us in. But,
other people's money, Scott Ross. I mean, aren't these fiscal conservatives? That's what they claim. But then they, you know, what would they do with Gableman? Hell, I settled with the state. That was all Wisconsin taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so, you know, Voss, I thought that he would plow forward, because I do think that the ruling is would be nuclear for him. Because again, this is a guy, he's a little, I think he's a year, maybe he's around my age or a little year or two older. I'm like mid 50s. You know, this guy, everybody says he's the longest serving speaker, that he's on his way out. He nearly got primaried out the last election cycle, you know? And so I thought that he's like, you know, if you're the old guy in the room, you've been here longer than anybody else. Like, do you really want to spend your time? Like, he's able to do a lot of the stuff he wants to do because he doesn't have to worry about getting, you know, he can lose like what, 13 votes and still be able to do the stuff he wants. He can learn, you know, how many people does he need to keep a hold of being the speaker? And so I just assumed he would push forward because if you're that old and you're at the end of your rope, do you really want to spend your time having to like convince lunatics like Janelle Branchon and Shay or whatever his name, Sortwell.
That's Dom's buddy.
You know, the child abuser and the, you know, and then, you know, any of those, you know, what's her name? Dittrich over, you know, the one who like tells you how you should rule your family and she has a kid.
I don't think that's precisely how it's pronounced, but
yeah,
I appreciate your pronunciation.
I'm sorry, Dittrich. Yeah, no, I get you. But, you know, again, why would you put yourself in a position? I assumed that Robin Voss would not want to put himself in a position where he actually has to negotiate with his own lunatic caucus. And so that's why I was literally shocked that he didn't move forward with it. We'll see what happens after this, you know, after the whatever ruling comes down. I hope it's the first of a lot of rulings to restore sanity to public policy here in the state of Wisconsin, because I think there's a whole lot of unconstitutional things that have been going on. I'm waiting to see what happens with voting rights. You know, all the different voting things that we fought for that, you know, were chucked. Like, Wisconsin's one of the worst states for access to the polls, you know, and that's because of policies that were passed by Scott Walker and the Republican-controlled legislature. I want to see a lot of that taken. I would like to see revisited about the lame duck power grabs that happened. That remember when Scott Walker signed stuff that he used for 8 years and then signed restrictions on that for both the governor's office and for the attorney general's office? Like, yeah, this is just, you know, let's get going.
Well, and Scott Ross, I mean, it was today, Molly Beck over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting Tony Evers is suing the GOP lawmakers over blocking UW system pay raises and conservation projects. It seems like at least now and recently, the governor has been holding his own and pushing back. How would you rate how the governor is handling the Republicans in the state of Wisconsin right now,
Scott? I think he's using the power of the pulpit and he's bully pulpit, and I think he's using the powers that he has to be able to push back against these lunatics. I mean, we never see how important it is, you know, that your vote matters. You know, the fact that the governor is there to be able to veto what these people would do, which is basically undo democracy in the state of Wisconsin, you know, on a whole host of issues. And I would like to see, you know, I see no need to pull punches. I'd like to see everybody who's an elected Democrat being more aggressive about talking about what's at stake in these elections, what's at stake with the policies. And some people are doing a great job, and I think some people are falling a little short. You know, we need a unified front to go in against what is the biggest threat. It is an existential threat to our existence, you know, by what's going on right now. There are people, you know, these bullies are targeting, you know, trans kids. I mean, they're not, you know, Rick Essenberg and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, it's like they're not going to be satisfied until they bully every trans kid into like, you know, some sort of, you know, self-harm, you know. And, you know, now that there is sanity back on the Supreme Court, there is that opportunity, because again, the Republicans had a 15-year rubber stamp. And I know, because I got into One Wisconsin Now just as they took over the court in 2008, you know, and it has been nonstop. And, you know, you think about like the stuff that Voss was, you know, going after Janet about, because she used the word rigged to describe maps that under every circumstance, you know, is rigged. And, you know, Annette Ziegler ruled on cases about redistricting that involved, you know, that were brought by her lawyer from when she was exposed for deciding on cases involving her own husband's bank, you know, that were uncovered by One Wisconsin Now back like 15, 16 years ago. And, you know, Annette Ziegler does that. You got Rebecca Bradley on the court, who's deciding every single case that comes up with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, where Rick Essenberg was her mentor and wrote three, you know, intervened three times to get her three appointments to the judiciary. You know, again, whatever the Republicans are complaining about or attacking about, it's an admission. over and over and over again. So I guess when we get the, you know, when Mike Johnson finally gets the boom lowered on him, it's going to be some pretty ugly stuff.
Well, Ann Walsh Bradley, the good Bradley, will she run for re-election next year?
I believe she will, absolutely.
And then there's another Republican appointee, or I believe it'd be Ziegler's term.
No, no.
No, Bad Bradley.
Bad Bradley on 26, Ziegler in 27. So I, you know, again, is you know, progressives could have six of the seven justices by 2027.
Oh, yeah.
From your lips to God's ears. Mm-hmm. If you believe in such a creature. Thank you, Scott Ross. Come back. The happy hour, the holiday Halloween edition. More Devils.
Thanks, Scott.